Matthew 16 and verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be done, be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Watch this, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And what is it a man? And what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, as we continue to teach on this subject of discipleship and climbing this mountain, dear God, help us to be a people that have a heart to be not just saved, but be disciples, Lord. And as we look at these qualifications, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to set these as our own personal goals, number one. And then, Lord, as parents are rearing their children, oh my goodness sakes, Lord, if we do not instill within the hearts and the character of our young people the qualifications, the characteristics of a disciple, then why would we ever believe that they would grow up to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And so, Lord, help us not to just see one side of the coin. Help us not to just see what we need to do and what is required, but also, Lord, may we be aware of the satanic attacks against these character traits in our society today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Do we have this on? Is this all right here? Or you think, is it not on? All righty. Could I get somebody to run this back and let him, here, Tristan, see if he can change out batteries and see what we can do there, get that going. All right, I'm going to be moving around just a little bit, and so mostly not to keep your attention, honestly, just to keep me awake. And so Bible qualifications for discipleship. I spoke last week on a Sunday night and talked a little bit about having the right goals and having the right focal point and having a clear vision in ministry. And I want to kind of give you now, you know, I said, you know what, you ought to have 10 things over here. You ought to have somewhere that you're going. If your vision is not focused, thank you. If your vision is not focused and you do not know where you're going, you're going to have a hard time getting there. A lot of times what we want to do is we say we want this, we want a certain things, but then we go get on a road that's taking us away from those things. Kind of like me saying, you know what, I want to go to Linton. And that's what all I talk about is how I need to go to Linton. But every time I pull out of the driveway, I take a left. You know, it's going to be a little hard to get to Linton, which is to the south, if I continue to always turn and head north. And I think what we're real good at is, if we're not careful, talking about where we need to go, but not getting our young people on the road to get there, not keeping a church on the road to get there. And so I want to talk to you about this. Say, preacher, you piqued my interest. If, you know, you said come up with a list of 10 things. I'm going to give you 10 tonight. Don't panic. We'll get you out of here in a timely fashion. And despite those that don't have faith in me, I believe. The word timely fashion is so, I don't know, it's just it's kind of an umbrella phrase that means absolutely nothing. So Bible qualifications for discipleship. Let me just say this, write this one down, teachability. By the very definition of the word, anytime you find the word disciple, it means learner or pupil. Now, stay with me, I can't spend much time on any of these. But folks, you cannot be a disciple and then not be teachable. Because by definition, a disciple is a pupil, it's a learner. And so what are we looking for, preacher? You talked about being that goodly merchant. You're talking about the searching for goodly pearls. You're talking about being that merchant man that's in and looking for pearls of great price. Every ministry, every preacher, every Sunday school teacher, every youth pastor, everybody that's in ministry, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for that young person. They're looking for that new convert that is teaching. unteachable. Now, I want you to take the coin. Every time I give you one, I want you to flip over the coin and write beside it what you would think would be the opposite. How would the devil keep us from being able to turn out disciples? If being teachable is an absolute necessity to discipleship, then what do you think he's going to try to interject into the hearts of Christians today? You can write beside that a know-it-all attitude. A know-it-all attitude. Young people, watch this. I promise you, you're going to one of these days have a better view. It's not that I think you're dumb. It's not that I don't think you haven't learned some things, and it's not that I don't think that you aren't listening and learning, but I promise you, you have more yet to learn than you can even imagine. Be very careful that you don't develop this know-it-all attitude, because what you do is eliminate yourself from the potential pool of people that can be discipled. And so teachability, by definition, learner or pupil. The second one, humility. I'm just going to read you this verse, and I'll read some to save us some time tonight. But Matthew 10:24 says this, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Teachability, humility, all right? You have to be humble enough to realize that in order to be discipled, watch this, you have to put yourself under some people, okay? You're not above your parents. You're not above your pastor. You're not above that Sunday school teacher. You're not above that master's club leader. You're not above that Christian school teacher. The minute that you want to spend your time exalting yourself as if you know more, and you're, you know, God's called you to correct them and help them and teach them, they haven't been called to teach you, then guess what? You once again develop a character trait that makes it impossible for you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, listen to me. Let's all stay humble. I don't care where we are in our journey. If you start exalting yourself, God will abase you. You know what? Pride cometh before destruction. I had to laugh. Me and Brother Brian Morrison, and this has nothing to do with the message, but me and Brother Brian Morrison that owns the bus and has taken us on some trips, you know, one of the teenagers I had. But we both are absolutely, we love Popeye's restaurant, Popeye's fried chicken, that chicken. We absolutely, how many have ever never had Popeye's? Oh, we got to go on a trip, man. We just got to take everybody. Oh, my goodness sakes. Hallelujah. Say, I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. Good night. You're on the wrong side of the Jordan River, brother. You need to cross over into the promised land. And you're wandering in the wilderness, man. I mean, come on. How many make a decision right now? Preacher, before this year's out, with God's help, I'm going to have some Popeye's fried chicken. I'm just going to, by faith, I'm teachable, I'm humble, and I'm willing to take some. So we stop on the way home, and I look over, and there's a Popeye's fried chicken. And so you know what I do? I not only go to the restaurant, I take a picture of the sign. Then I take a picture of the truck that's unloading with the logo. Then I take a picture of the soft drink lid and the menu. And then I take a picture of the entire restaurant. Then I get my food, and I take a picture of the food. And over the course of the next hour, I just one at a time keep sending Brian Morris pictures of Popeye's fried chicken, man, just a torment. And I started to say pride come before destruction. He sent me a verse. Apparently he's using the NIV now because it said, pride cometh before indigestion. That's what he sent me. and so, amen, praise the Lord. But folks, watch this. Man, that's one of those ugly little snakes that rear up and bite all of us every once in a while. And if we're not careful, boy, just examine your hearts. Keep yourself humble. Be humble. I want to learn. Man, I want to learn. Oh, I don't need any of those books now. No, you couldn't learn anything from Spurgeon. You couldn't learn a thing from Moody. Good night. Those guys, I mean, they're so far below you. And, can you imagine we had the opportunity one time to go hear Billy Sunday preach? Well, you can. I think there's a sermon in a book there. And, you know, folks, listen to me. You know what Jeremiah said, who was a great prophet? He said, I'll get me to the great man. And just stay humble and be understand we all have things we still need to learn. Number three, we read in our text, Matthew 16:24, this matter of self-denial. So we have teachability, or we have a know-it-all attitude. We have humility, or we have pride. We have self-denial, or we have love. Self-love. The Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Are we in perilous times? and the first attribute, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And folks, let me tell you something. Watch this. You know what? You're either going to deny self or you're going to fall in love with self. And one of the real keys to discipleship is being able and willing to say no to yourself. Now, folks, young people, you children, look up here. You children, look up here. You know what? Mom and dad has to tell you no sometimes. And you know what? If you can't respond properly to them telling you no, you're not going to respond properly and have the character one of these days to tell yourself no. And you know what? No's a good answer a lot of times. If you ask mom or dad something that you want to do or someplace you want to go or something you want to have and the answer's no, then the answer's no. But folks, at some point we grow up. And guess what? Mom and dad's not there to say, are you listening, young people? You're transitioning right now. Mom and dad's not always there to say no. And you have to be willing to deny yourself. Not everything that we want to do, we should do. Not everything this flesh wants, should it have. And if we do not learn to tell ourselves no and mean it and deny ourselves, then we cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things the Lord will test you on is this, and watch you in order to be able to place you in a place of discipleship and potentially a place of leadership, is can they deny themselves? I've got to move quickly. Number four, willingness to bear a cross. Willingness to bear a cross. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, as I'm giving all these and you're writing them down, remember the other night when I went over here and said, you know what, there's 10 things, you ought to come up with a list of 10 things, and you know what, let's judge everything we do around here on whether or not it advances us and our young people and our ministry towards those 10 things, and you'll begin to understand more and more about why I won't do certain things and why I insist on doing certain things. If you'll take a look at this list when it's compiled, folks, listen to me, we must be willing to bear a cross. A preacher, what's a work day at Blessed Hope Baptist Church have to do with preparing disciples? Listen, if you are never available when something needs to be done that's hard, you're pretty much going to be worthless to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that doesn't sound very attractive. Come on, preacher, if the Lord was going to, you know, put out a four-color glossy brochure enlisting disciples, he sure could have come up with a lot more enticing things than what he's done. Self-denial, bearing the cross, following me. Sorry, folks. Jesus isn't worried about a four-color glossy, brochure to try to convince you. You know, we're trying to almost con our young people in certain segments of fundamentalism about what this Christian life really going to be like. It's not parties. It's not fun and games. That doesn't mean, hey, you can have fun, serve the Lord. But let me tell you what it is. A lot of times it's just saying no to yourself. A lot of times it's just picking up a cross and carrying something. Now, what's on the flip side of that, preacher? How about this? A softness, and there is a softness in this generation. Come on now, there is. You know, kids don't want to sweat. Honestly, kids don't want to be hot. Kids don't want to be dirty. Well, I don't want to do that because then I'd have to go outside. Think about this. Now, just you think about this. When's the last time, parents, you think about this. When's the last time you drove down any street in any town and saw a group of boys out playing football in a yard somewhere? Where do you see kids outside anywhere? I'm asking you. I mean, come back. Go back to when I was a kid. You know what? You couldn't drive anywhere. All we did was want to get together and have fun. And you know what? You wanted to see your friends. Our young people are overexposed to their friends. They don't have to go see their friends to be with their friends. They're in constant contact with their friends. We couldn't wait to go see our friends because we didn't have cell phones. And we weren't constantly texting. There's over-communication, okay? And you know what? We wanted to do something. We went outside and did it. We couldn't wait to get outside. My mom had to chase us in with a stick, you know. God had to turn the sun off to get us to come in. And I'm just saying, it's amazing if it's hard at all or it makes you uncomfortable at all. Folks, guys, listen to me. Just get used to being dirty. Get used to sweating. Get used to getting out there and getting grimy. Hey, there's something called a shower. Praise the Lord. You can take it at the end of the day and clean it all up and do it all over. What I'm saying is, don't be soft. Don't be soft, okay? All right? And so I want to go after a lot of things there, but we'll move on. Amen. How about the next one? Followship. Matthew 16:24, followship. He says, and follow me. If you're going to be a disciple, then you have to be teachable, you have to be humble, you have to be willing to deny yourself, you've got to be willing to pick up some things that are heavy and hard and carry them, and you got to be willing to be a follower. Again, by definition, a disciple is a learner or a pupil or a follower. What's the opposite? On the opposite side of that coin, rebellion. If you can't follow leadership in your home, you know what? You ain't going to be worth much to the Lord Jesus Christ later on in life. You know, young men, if you can't go on a trip like we just went on, and if something needs to be corrected and I need to correct it and you can't respond properly to that, you know what? God just took note. You got to learn, you know what? If you can't be corrected and you can't take rebuke, then you know what? You don't have much chance of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to follow, okay? Every time leadership gets up and tries to tell you to do something a certain way, you want to stop and try to tell them that you just thought of a better way that maybe it ought, you know, I'm going to start calling some of you forward. I said, Boswell, start calling some of you forward. You always got a better idea. Now, seriously, you know what? Entry level, Christianity, being trained, young people up, new converts, and even some of us that want to sit around and always be the expert and knows how it ought to be run if I was in charge. You know what you need to learn? Just do? Follow. Follow, okay? And so Jesus said this in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So we have rebellion or we have fellowship. Now think about this, folks. I've got this positive list of 10. The devil's got his list of 10. If he can get young people trained into the opposite character traits, he pretty much has removed the future pool from which we can produce disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he works so hard to put within the hearts of our young people a spirit of rebellion, a refusal just to follow leadership. Number 6, a supreme love and loyalty to Christ. Go to Luke 14:26 because I want you to see this verse. It needs some explanation, but at the same time, it doesn't need to be explained away. I don't mind a preacher explaining a verse. It does bother me when I see they tend to want to explain away a verse. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, the Bible says this, Luke 14:26, if any man come to me, now watch this, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, ye cannot be my disciples. Now think about that list, that's pretty intense. Your father? Wow. Your mother? Your wife? Your children? Brethren? I get the sister's part. That's not a stretch. Yea, and his own life also. His own life also. He cannot be my disciple. You say, preacher, good night. I mean, we have to hate these people in order to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a verse that's what we call a comparative verse. In other words, what this is saying, and we could go to the Bible and scriptures, and this is why you let the Bible interpret itself, is we can go to the Bible and scriptures and we can find verses. We read one this morning about the importance of mothers loving their children, to learn to love their children. And so obviously the Bible's not contradicting itself. We see husbands love your wives. So the Bible's not contradicting itself. What it's saying is this. If you were to take the love that you have for that list of people, by the way, which ought to be pretty intense, don't you think? Ought to be pretty deep. You know, ought to be pretty special. If you were to take the love you have for that group of people and you were to compare it to the love you have for God and for Jesus Christ, the love you have for God and Jesus Christ ought to be so far advanced that in comparison, that love you have for these people could be and would be comparatively could be said that it looks like hate. Now that's the only proper Bible explanation for this verse. It's a comparative verse. Now I want you to think about that, because folks, now we're getting to where the rubber meets the road right now, okay? You listen to me, because the one time Jesus said, the disciples said to Jesus, hey, your mother and your brother, they're outside, they want to see you. And Jesus looked around and said, who is my mother, my brother, my sister? He said, those that do the will of God. They're my mother, brothers, and sisters. Now, I'm talking about family relationships here. I'm talking something that's very near and dear to all of our hearts. But folks, listen to me. If you'll sell out to the devil because of a family member, then you've made an idol out of that family member. Okay, there's the first commandment and there's the second great commandment. There's two of them. The first one is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy mind. I mean, you know what? That is the supreme love, and thy neighbor as thyself. But you know what? Look right up here. You got to get this. You got to get this. God's first. Period. Period. Now, I'm talking about people who want to be a disciple. Okay? I'm talking about people who want to be a disciple. I'm tired of watching parents follow a backslidden teenager out the door of the church never to return. Okay, you go ahead and do that. You go prodigal with them. But one of these days when they want to come home, they can't come home because you went with them. Give them some place to come home. You don't go, that doesn't mean you stop loving them. But you know what? You don't backslide with them. Okay, too many husbands giving in to a wife's little, you know, she has a period of time where she gets around the wrong crowd and she starts getting carnal. And what he does, instead of straightening that mess out, finding out where the influence is coming out and be a leader in the home, next thing you know, he's, you know, she's got him by the ear and she's dragging him out of an independent fundamental Baptist church to go to some little liberal church where she doesn't have to hear any preaching on anything she don't like. Now, let me tell you something. God's first. I said God's first. Now, you just establish this man in your home and it'll help you. God's first. Okay, love y'all. God's first. I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Love the people here, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me tell you this. My love for God compared to my love for you is like love compared to hate. Okay, and so that you know very clearly where my allegiance is, it comes between a choice of making you happy and making God happy, not even a contest. I don't even have to think about it. Settled it a long time ago. And let me say, share this with you. If that bothers you, it's because, honestly, you want to be a God. This isn't the church you're going to be a God in. We serve a God. Oh, there's churches I can take to you right now, walk in and say, preacher, who do they worship? Them, that family, that man, that woman. That's who the preacher's gods are. Because he's afraid to say, preach, do anything to upset people. You start that down that road, you might as well get out of the ministry. Get out of the ministry. Go get an honest job somewhere. Because you know what? That's just the way it is. Some of you young people want to work on your parents. And you want your parents to choose you over God. That's what it really boils down to. You want them to choose you over God. Parents, don't do it. Don't do it, all right? Say, preacher, this is tough. I told you, man. This isn't the list that's real popular nowadays, but this is what produces disciples, okay? You ought to have supreme loyalty to God and God alone, all right? And so supreme love and loyalty to Christ. Number seven, personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. Luke 14:33, I think you're in that chapter still. Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That means there must be at least a willingness in your heart to, if God were to ask you, forsake everything for Christ, personal sacrifice. And so what's on the other side of personal sacrifice? Selfishness. By the way, what's on the other side of the coin of supreme love and loyalty to Christ? Misdirected love to the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, number seven, personal sacrifice versus selfishness. Now, watch this. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. Now, that means we have to sell everything, take a vow of poverty. Now, what that means is this. Everything and anything that you have, anytime God were to point at it and say, I want that, you should say, Lord, it's yours anyway. Let me tell you a good day in your life. And I mean, I physically have done it. Let me give you a good day of your life. Is the day, man, that you walk out and you put your hands on your house and say, this is yours, God's. You put your hands on your vehicles. This is yours, God's. All the things God's been allowed you to have, you just touch everyone. So this is yours, God's. It's yours. And by the way, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, which means not just the earth belongs to him, but everything in the earth is his. So whether or not you have acknowledged that or not, it is his. Okay. And so what he wants is this. Hey, you know what? By the way, That doesn't mean God's going to say sell your house. That doesn't mean God's not going to say sell your car. That means that, listen, God is a good father and he spoils his kids. I mean, come on, we all got more than we really need. But at the same time, everything that comes into my hands, everything that comes into my possession, everything that God allows me to have, sometimes he gives me something, allows me to enjoy for a short time, and then he taps me on the shoulder and says, you know, I think I want that. And why don't you sell that? Why don't you direct the funds from that to this or that or the other? And you know what? That's fine. It's his. It's his, you know. I mean, anything, everything. Amen. So that's discipleship. You know what? Jesus went to four fishermen who was in line, working underneath their fathers, was in line, transitioning. Probably, you know, this was, Sons of Thunders and Sons, Thunder and Sons Incorporated. Fish, you know, one of these days this business was going to come to them, and he just walks up and says, you know what, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he turned around and walked away, and they had to make a decision. And you know what? There are going to be times where God's going to ask you for some personal sacrifice. We've got these things. I haven't preached hard on them. I may do some preaching on it. We've got a four fifth Sunday offerings that we're going to do for this church plant. I ask you this. I'm not saying you have to do it on every one, but I think one of those, you ought to just do something somewhat extraordinary when it comes to personal sacrifice. When we built the building out here, people still, I mean, I have preachers call me that have heard about the building being built out here and the funds that were raised over a two-year period and say, preacher, how do you do that? How did you do that? And of course, to God be the glory, great things he had done. But folks, we also had a plan. And that plan was of God. And that plan involved and encouraged personal sacrifice. And you know what? We were debt-free when we started that building. We're debt-free when we finished that building. And that's because, you know what? I'm not afraid to get up and preach on a little widow whom Jesus Christ commended, not because she gave of her abundance, but she gave of her living. And if Jesus stopped and commended her, then it must not have been a wrong action. And I have a feeling that woman did just fine. I don't think she went home and starved to death. Okay, but I'm just saying, it's not that you have to do that, but when God tells you to do that, you ought to be willing to do it. You know, it ought to be a strange, I'm just saying a couple things. You know, every once in a while a preacher gives up, and I've never done this, and I don't have intention to do it. But a lot of pastors get up and say, we're going to have a give-it-all Sunday. And they tell you 4 or 5 months in advance so that you know. Can I say this? If you listen to the Holy Spirit, you've probably had a number of give-it-all Sundays. And if you never have, would you be willing to if God told you to? Well, we just can't. No, don't use that can't stuff on me. If God says to do it, then he's going to teach you something. And you know what? You don't see the miracles because you're not willing to do something extraordinary, beyond the usual, crazy good. And, you know, so God's sometimes going to do that. He's just going to say, you know what? I know the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. I've walked into the treasurer's office and say, don't write me a check this week. Amen. How many times it went out of your business? But your preacher's done it more than once. You know what? God told me to. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm just saying, folks, I'm trying to open your mind to a whole different level of things. You know, God says, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. If you won't even tithe, or when you do, you come in with a begrudged attitude, you don't think God doesn't see that? You don't think God's going to respond to you in the same spirit? You know, we want a generous God, and then we want to be a grouchy giver. And what I'm saying is, I mean this, God knows it. All he's got to do is tell me and the missus there that something we have needs to be liquidated and given to whatever, and it'll be done. Now, I don't think about it. I think about it, pray about it, wonder about it. If I know it's God's impression and it's of God, boom, it's his. And by the way, we're doing just fine, thank you. All right, so what I'm saying is part of discipleship is personal sacrifice. Quickly on, number 8, how about this fruit-bearing? Fruit-bearing, Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. John 15:8 says, herein, think about this, you're not looking at it, so listen to it. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You know why God's wanting to build these character traits in you? And another thing he wants to do, is he wants you to be teachable in this matter of fruit bearing. Part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is bearing fruit for him. And so he called his disciples and he told them up front why he wanted disciples. He wanted to make them fishers of men. He said this, that God is glorified, the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And so a successful disciple bears fruit. What about this matter of fruit bearing or soul winning? We have that as a positive character trait. I like to see these young people get eat up over souls, man. I like to see kids come up and pray for family members and leave a puddle of tears on an altar. It shouldn't just be young people doing this. I remember a young lady one time came back after so many years and years ago. I was a youth pastor then. She came back onto the bus, and we turned them loose, and they did several blocks, and we went around and picked up. And I see her coming towards the bus, and she's got tears running down her eyes. And I'm sorry, but I'm in panic mode because they're my responsibility. And I thought somebody did something. Someone tried to hurt her. Someone said something. And I went out into the bus, and outside, I said, "Are you okay? Did something bad happen, you know?" And she looked at me, tears running down her face. She said, "He wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen." I kept trying to tell him, "Preacher, how to be saved," and he wouldn't listen. Tears running down her face. Well, I'm going to tell you, she got on the bus. I got on my knees outside the bus, and God, don't let me lose that. Help me get some of whatever that is I just saw. But folks, listen to me. You know what the devil wants? He wants to produce in you a lack of concern for the lost. Okay, again, I want to help some of you young men that are coming on up. And, you know, you young men that are going to be coming in the youth group in a few years from now. Let me tell you something. More and more you're going to hear from your parents. More and more you're going to have pressure put on by your preacher. At least we ought to be working together on this. Not to stop being so concerned about yourself and start thinking about the lost people. All right? Somebody's going to come to your Sunday school class, young men. And you know what? You can sit in the back of the Sunday school class and cut up and be an idiot. You know, a two-year-old, or you can start looking around for these lost kids that are walking in and grabbing them, making them feel welcome. And by the way, we've got some young men that do that, and I mean that. My wife told me of our core kids, some of the core kids that were in her class that go out of their way to set by new kids and find new kids. And I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about first grade, second grade, first grade. You know what? That is to me, that's just good parenting going on. Somebody's doing a really good job raising kids, okay? And at some point, you know what? Your radar needs to be heightened, and you need to be aware that every single Sunday, almost without fail, somebody lost comes in this church, and they shouldn't be falling through the cracks. Somebody needs to reach out to them. Somebody needs to get to know them. Somebody needs to love them. Somebody needs to make them feel welcome. And so the purpose, again, the product we're trying to produce here are young people, and that's why from seventh grade on, we take them out soul winning. Many of you that are adults said, "Preacher, I wish I was raised like that, because it would be so much easier for me now." I'm amazed at the boldness of our young people as they witness for the loss. I mean, they come back and tell me stories, and I'm like, "Are you serious? You said that?" Anyway, I started to tell you some stories, but it would take too long. But I don't know if we should let Janae Sagercy witness or not. I'm just not sure. Yeah. She was preaching to some motorcycle gang leader the other day, and I think about had him in tears. But praise the Lord. Go after him. Amen. How about this one? Love for other disciples. John 13:34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Here's what it goes on to say. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Look up here and let me help you. Part of the journey that we're taking and part of the character traits we're trying to build in is this. While you're trying to be what you need to be for the Lord, don't forget to love the other people that you're traveling with and you're on the journey with, okay? And love them. Learn to love people, okay? One of the things, young people, if you're not careful, is that this idea of trying to be a better Christian becomes in your mind. It's amazing how the best goals can be infected with sinful motives. And you may have a sincere heart's desire to be better for the Lord, and about the time you start becoming better for the Lord, then you start becoming more hypercritical of those that are lagging behind or haven't made certain decisions. And the honest truth is, the reason that we are trying to get you here is so that you can disciple people. And one of the things you've got to learn to do is to learn to love people wherever they are. Wherever they are. Okay? Now that means some of the young people that come in here, I love looking back there on Sunday morning. We've got a hodgepodge of everything. And you know what? We got kids that are lost and kids that are just saved and kids that don't have a clue as far as what to wear and what to do. And you know, they're just a product of the culture. Hey, they need to come here and be loved. Okay, you can't teach them till you love them. You can't help them till you love them. And so, you know, don't set back and nitpick. Don't set back. You know, there's a preacher, but there's certain things. I get it. I know. But you know what? I'm not going to let them be, you know, crazy as far as immodest. And there's times we honestly have had to pull some young ladies aside and say, you know, bus captains' wives, help me with that, okay? And sometimes, honestly, especially a kid that's been coming for a while, I mean, sometimes it's not a bad thing to kind of put your foot down in some areas. If you've proved how much you love them, you'll be able to get by with this. And but at the same time, some of these new kids, you know what? Folks, listen to me. Just love them. Just love them. It just grates on me every time that kid comes in with an earring. You know, if all you can see is an earring, I don't like earrings on guys either. You know, but you know what? If that's all you can see, and it just that's all you can think of, and that's it, there's a lot more that you need to start opening your eyes up to. And if you know what, we'll bring them along. We'll love them. We'll teach them. At some point, you know, when they're able to handle it, we'll be able to pull them off the side and, hey, say, let me talk to you about something. But at the same time, folks, listen to me. Love each other. Just love each other, all right? The last thing, we're done. Long-term commitment or faithfulness. Long-term commitment or faithfulness. You got to have this. In John chapter 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Talking about getting on the path, young people. You've made some good decisions this week. Now continue in them. Sad portion of scripture in John 6:60. And many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said to them, doth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of the Father. Now think about this. You probably heard this before. I think a preacher recently may have pointed this out. John 6:66. Say, preacher, what is it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The spirit of Antichrist is infesting the church. Isn't that interesting? Those of you that don't believe in the King James Bible, that God doesn't take custodial care of it. Isn't it interesting that John 6:66 says this? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And you know what? It takes a long-term commitment, which means this. You know what? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. World behind me, cross before me. I mean, it's done, settled. You know what? I'm not hot, then cold, up, then down, in for 6 months, out for 3 months. The fickleness and the unfaithfulness of this generation is about to drive me insane. I just, you know, so much of a preacher's time is just taking up going to people and having to one more time drag them back into church house and beg them to come back, and then they come back and they make it for another 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and then a little thing comes up and something's said and they're easily offended. And get past it, get over it. If you're going to be a disciple, you just have to make a long-term commitment that, you know what, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I'm not doing this for a while. This isn't a phase. This isn't a fad. Some of you bus teenagers that are doing real well, your parents, you know what they're thinking? I'm going to tell you what they're thinking. They're not churched, so I get it. But you know what they're thinking? Oh, it's just another phase they're going through. They'll get over it after a while. Hey, why don't you just not get over it? Oh, they went to this conference. They got hyped up. Give them 6 weeks, and they'll be back the way they were. Why don't you not go back to the way you were? Why don't you just decide, you know what, all out, all in, all the way for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you think about this. What we want to do is try to help our young people produce some character traits in their life. Parents, this is a good list for you. Is your children teachable? Is there a humility about them? Is there a self-denial? Is there a willingness to do the hard things, to bear a cross without complaint? Is there a willingness to follow? Is there supreme love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they willing to personally sacrifice? Are they already being trained and they have a heart for this matter of soul winning and fruit bearing? Do they have a love for the other disciples, other church members in the congregation? And have they made a long-term commitment to just faithfully go forward in this matter for all of their lives? That is Bible qualifications for discipleship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. You know, more teaching than preaching tonight. More of a matter of writing down 10 things. And Lord, meditating and thinking about them and praying over them and working towards them. Lord, may we take an examination of our homes, of our ministry. May we do things that's going to produce these quality traits in our young people. And Lord, dear God, may not a one of us be so haughty as to think that this is a list just for the teenagers or the children of our church. But God, may we checklist these things in the presence of a holy God. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, I want to be a disciple. I want to be a disciple for all of my life. I want to be a disciple. Lord, help me to shore up these characteristics, these qualifications for discipleship. Bless the invitation now, we pray in Jesus' name.